I could explain it,
he favors me.
Lord, I surely would.
He favors me.
All I know to say tonight,
he favors
God
me.
Has sure been good.
He favors me.
I can't explain why,
he favors me.
I don't even begin to try.
He favors me.
Look at the homer overseas,
he favors me.
That either could have been me.
He favors me.
I tend to complain about
he
the place I live,
me.
But Lord, you always bless
he
me to pay my bills.
Me.
I don't know why you
he
do it, but I just want to say thank you for blessing
he
little old
me.
I don't deserve
he
it.
Favors me.
I said, I don't deserve it.
He me.
I said, we don't deserve it.
He
but he still,
me.
I said, we don't deserve it.
Me.
I don't know why.
He
thank you, Lord.
Me.
I don't know why, y'all. I sure don't know why.
He favors me.
The Lord favor me.
He favors me.
I don't know why.
He favors me.
Can I testify?
He favors me.
I don't mean to brag.
He
oh no.
Me.
And I don't wanna make you mad.
He favors me.
Even when I do wrong,
he
keeps blessing me right on.
He favors me.
I don't always serve him.
He
and I know
me.
That I don't
he
deserve it.
Me.
Lord, I wish I understood. But all I know is
all
people
I
just
know
ain't fair, but it sure does
feel good.
Feel good.
This is KAYT, Gina Alexandria, 88.1. The gospel is on your radio. Call a friend. Tell somebody. 88.1.
Welcome to the Movement of Christ Worldwide Ministries Broadcast, brought to you by the Greater King David Baptist Church, pastored by Dr. John E. Montgomery II, one church ministering in two locations, 222 Blood Road and 7305 Harry Drive, Baton Rouge, Louisiana. Thank you for your prayers and support of the ministry. Let us now join the broadcast already in progress.
Hope for all I
hallelujah. I'm just so glad that the Lord is still on the throne.
Amen.
All power in his hand. And you know the devil is so angry, not only at what has come forth in praise, but what's getting ready to come forth in word. And I understand it. I understand it. Certainly we are grateful to God for this day that he has made, and we certainly are going to rejoice and be glad in it. Hallelujah. Would you just take one moment out right now, if you don't mind, and lean over to the person next to you and tell them, this is the Lord's day. Now let's act like it. Come on, let's act like it. This ain't my day. This ain't your day. This is the Lord's day. If God's been good to any of us in this house, if we've come through some stuff this week, listen, and we're here, he's worthy of our praise. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. I understand the old saints when they say, I love the Lord. He heard my cry and pitied every groan. Long as I live and trouble rise, I'll hasten to his throne. Glory to God. Gracious God, our Heavenly Father, in Jesus' wonderful name, we thank you now for this opportunity to hear from you, speak to our hearts. Let the Holy Spirit do his work as only he can. Let him take the text and unfold the meaning that you have for us this day. Give us clarity of understanding. Give us a unique perspective on the word as it relates to us. And Lord God, we'll be ever so careful to give you all praise, glory, and honor as you continue to reveal yourself through your word, what you desire. In Jesus' name we pray. And the people of God said, amen.
Amen.
Amen. I want to call your attention to 1 Corinthians chapter 13. And I just want to lift out verse 1. 1 Corinthians chapter 13, verse 1. Recorded are these words. Though I speak with the tongues of men and of angels, and have not charity, I am become as sounding brass, a tinkling cymbal. May the Lord add a blessing to the reading of his holy word. You may be seated in God's presence. For just a little while, what I want to speak to you about is this. When God gave this word through Paul to the church at Corinth, he was dealing with a multiplicity of issues. If you look in these first 12 chapters of 1 Corinthians, you'll see Paul deals with a plethora of issues. But in chapter 12, he deals with gifts of the Holy Spirit and their operations, etc. But what he also discovered was that Christians were operating out of order, and more especially out of love. Not in love, they were operating without love. And so in trying to become superior Christians to those who did not have or function or flow in the gifts, they had established somewhat of a hierarchy and an attitude as if God only spoke to them, like they were holier than thou, like they were all of that, like the rest were not worthy of their presence or their company. And he noted their attitude, their disposition. He noticed how they treated and spoke to one another. And he talks to them about those gifts. But at the end of the 12th chapter, he is convinced that his desire is to show them a more excellent way. And so for a little while, I want to speak from the subject. What the church needs now is love. This problem that existed in Paul's day still exists in our day. And it's unfortunate that we've not learned over the years how God wants us to operate in the kingdom of God, how God wants us to utilize the gifts that he has given us to be a blessing to the body of Christ and not to lord over the people of God in the body of Christ. Not so some could have high seats while others have low seats. It's not so that some can be thought of as those who are more righteous because they are functioning in their gifts and others are trying to discover their gifts. And what we need to understand is more than all of the gifts, Paul says, you need to learn how to show love. What you've got to realize is the gift that God has given you is for you to operate on his behalf. It's not because you are all that. but it's to help those who are not supposedly all that to become all of that because of what God has given you to help them. And when I talk about the church, I'm not talking about the brick and mortar. I'm talking about the ecclesia, the called out body of believers. I'm talking about the real church. I'm talking about the church that moves, the church that goes to work. I'm talking about the church that lives in your neighborhood, in your house. I'm talking about the church that goes to school with you. I'm talking about the church that's in the mall and the church everywhere you are. I'm not talking about a church building. And everywhere you go, you represent God because you are the church. The real church, the church that people see. Do you know people desire to worship in the place you worship in when they see who and how you respond to things in the world? What kind of love do you demonstrate? What kind of love do you display? And so when Paul dealt with this issue, he said, I want to show you a more excellent way. Now what this says is, if it's a more excellent way, then it means it's a better way. So I want somebody here to get this. You might not be able to speak in tongues. You might not be able to do this. You might not be able to do that. You may not be able to do anything yet in chapter 12, but if you got love, you are in the house. God sees that. God is more impressed with that. God honors that. God desires that above all of the other things. And so when Paul deals with this first verse, he says, though I speak, and what I love about Paul is he's using himself as an example. Though I speak with the tongue of men and of angels. Now let's pause right there, because what I want you to recognize is Paul has already said, and he's already dealt with the fact that he believed in speaking in tongue. Matter of fact, he said he spoke in tongues more than they all. He says, but in the church, he says, we got some folk operating out of order. He said, and I'd rather speak how many words in the church in a known tongue? He said, just a handful than to speak 10,000 in an unknown tongue. Why? Because what he was saying is the tongue speaking is only going to cover, in terms of those who have the gift to interpret, a handful. But when you prophesy, everybody gets to understand what you're talking about. But when you speak in tongues, that's not for you unless there is an interpreter there interpreting what you have to say to the congregation. And that was considered the least of the gift, which had become lifted and elevated to one of the higher gifts because it was personal. And folk took pride in that above all of the other gifts. And he juxtaposed them and said, wait a minute. Prophecy is more important than speaking in tongues. I'm just throwing this out to help you understand. When you recognize that that personal gift, that intimate gift, is for you, especially when you are seeking a one-on-one with God, whether that's in a special place, whether that's in your prayer closet, whether that's your time by yourself, but it ain't for the church. So keep that in mind. He's saying, I want to teach you a more excellent way. Now, what I think is most important, because what we miss is that everything about God is wrapped up in his love. God is love. God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish but have everlasting life, when you begin to recognize all of the love that Jesus talks about, leaving a new commandment with you, that ye love one another as I have loved you. It's all about love, and we miss it. Trying to be big eyes. We miss it. Trying to be important to the wrong people. We miss it. Trying to act like we're all of that when love lifted me. Not my degrees, not my reputation, not my gifts and not my abilities, but love lifted me. And I got news for you. It lifted you also. And you got to recognize the source that God himself shares with us in the continual operation of the church. We are his called out body of believers. And there should be some signs. And there ought to be, if it ain't nowhere else, in the church. There ought not be no talking about one another. If I've done something and it's hurt your feelings, you ought to come to me as a brother or sister and say, "Brother Pastor, you hurt my feelings because such and such." Don't get behind my back and talk about me. If your brother or your sister, listen, hurts your feelings or offend you or do you wrong, you go to them, nip it in the bud, because you don't want this thing to get out of hand and grow. You don't want them to get on Facebook, and you don't want them texting and tweeting and telling everybody else but who they ought to be telling what the problem is, so you can work it out. You see, we ought not be like the world. We ought to come to one another and say, "This is the issue I have. I could be wrong, but I thought I'd talk to you about it." And if y'all can't work it out together, you get somebody else in the church who's more mature and who holds a position, who can render decision between you and tell the story to them. And if they won't listen to them, you get a handful more of them. And listen, if that don't work out, then the Bible says you need to excommunicate them, because one bad apple can spoil the whole bunch. Listen at this now. He says, "I speak with the tongues of men and of angels," which means I have the ability to speak, interpret, have conversation with, and receive revelation from angels, and to be able to share that is going to happen, that is revelatory with men. I have the innate ability to talk in two worlds, men and angels. Listen at this now. He says, "But if I don't have charity," and this word charity is a broad word. It doesn't just mean alms or giving, as part of the chapters before suggests. This means love. This means agape love, the God kind of love. So in this 13th chapter, everywhere you see charity, that word means love, God's love, or the God kind of love. So he says, "Though I speak with the tongues of men and of angels and have not love," listen to what he says, "I am become as sounding brass or a tinkling cymbal." Now listen to this, because what's interesting about this is Paul has a message he's trying to get over. What he's literally saying is there are some churches that have a ministry of sound, not to be mistaken for a sound ministry. Somebody catch it on your way back home. I said, some have a ministry of sound. Whole lot of talk, a whole lot of stuff that's hype, a whole lot of stuff that sounds good, a whole lot of air, a whole lot of words, but no real substance. It is not a sound ministry. It is a ministry of sound. And when you have churches and people in those churches coming up with all of these cliches and all of these sweet sounding things that sound good to us but have no biblical substance to it, that's what he's talking about when he talked about they have a ministry of sound. A ministry of sound. Listen, that sound is simply that is tickling to the ear. Paul warns Timothy about those who would gather up teachers having itching ears. You'd be surprised how many folk don't want no sound doctrine. You'd be surprised how many churches don't want to hear what thus said the Lord. But the moment you put a little sound to it, yeah. And y'all, they start waking up there. And I don't know. And everybody start, why? Because it's a little sound. I'll never forget when I was in my first church. And I discovered the power of the solid word. And I knew, because I was in the cane fields and the country areas and everything. And I had, Johnny, you remember, I had a horn then. Y'all remember when I first came, I had a horn. Had a sweet tone and a beautiful moan. And I discovered that folk, listen, wanted to hear my sound. But God started dealing with me concerning his word. And I'll never forget when I began in Louisville teaching the word and ministering the word, how the atmosphere changed. People started learning, but also what it did was it caused those who had a ministry of sound to go to sleep or show up late or wake up when they heard, any of that. But what I also discovered was the more sound the word became, listen, because at a certain point, you can't celebrate what you can't understand. And I got tired of putting on a show, sweating out all my clothes, doing acrobatics and flipping and turning and running up the house and all of that kind of stuff and pulling on my ear. And watch him. I got tired of putting on a show and wanted to give them what God gave me. But then when I got through, guess what they said? Reverend, that was a nice little lesson you taught today. Because I didn't put no sweet moan and no beautiful tone with it. And I had to help them understand what makes you think that you're going to grow any more than where you are now if you don't have any sound doctrine, any substance, stuff to hold on to when you're going through a storm, things that will keep you when you get weak, stuff that will remind you that God's got this thing fixed. If all you got is a sweet moan and a beautiful tone. And so I noticed my membership started going down a little bit. Because this is what they say. Pastor, you preach too hard. You ain't got to preach that hard. So I stopped. And when they say preaching hard, they're talking about hooping, you know. So I stopped. Then I find out when I met him in all in the store somewhere, well, what happened? Well, you don't preach like you used to preach, Pastor. You used to shout us down. Now you just talk to us. And I said, well, if you listen to the talk, and if you listen long enough, you'll have something to shout about. And it wasn't until I made up my mind that I was not going to shout until they could shout with me. And I'm here to tell you, from that time forward, it turned my ministry around, and we burst open at the seams because God honors his word. Same reality happens everywhere. God honors his word. I've seen many, many, many a ministry with one thing or the next thing, etc. And that's all right. God may have given them that. He didn't give that to me. So I don't do what they do because that's what they say God said. All I know is what thus said the Lord. And if you can't hold on to what's real, you're going to discover that when you deal with anything less, it won't get the job done. So here he says, as I bring this first verse to a close, this is what he says. He says, I am become a sounding brass or a tinkling cymbal. Two of the noisiest instruments that must be played within their tunes and within their place and at the right time to sound right. I know it seemed like a cymbal is an easy thing to play, but I know Dr. Jass can tell you it ain't as easy as it sounds or looks. You've got to have a whole lot more than just clash, 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 clash. There's a reason. And it makes a whole lot of noise, but there's a difference between noise and music. And so many of us, my brothers and sisters, we are just making noise. No substance, nothing real, just making noise. And you wonder why God does not hear, answer, nor show up in your situation. You've got to know how to access God's presence. You've got to know how to seek God's presence. You've got to know how to meditate and feed on God's word and let God enter into you and give you the revelation of knowledge and understanding about what he's saying. Listen, God has already planned your future. Why would you not spend time with him who's already authorized and organized what your tomorrow is going to be like? Why wouldn't you get close to the one who loves you and purposed your life to be a blessed life and to give you an expected end? Why would you not spend time trying to understand what it is he wants you to do, what it is he wants you to have, and when he wants you to operate in the gifts he's given to you? But we're caught up in all of the hype. Our poor young people, so twisted and messed up with a whole lot of the stuff in the world and the stuff that the church permits from the world. Let me tell you something. I was at a church and you know they got this thing called the mannequin freeze or whatever, right? And everybody at one point or another they said something and everybody What kind of foolishness is this kind of stuff you bring? See, this is the kind of pagan stuff